Welcome to Tuesday Evenings at the Modern. I'm Terry Thornton, Curator of Education. I'm really glad to have you here. As I think I say most every week, this is one of the best parts of my job, and I'm glad you could come and enjoy it with me. Tuesday Evenings is an ongoing lecture series, so if you're unfamiliar, I invite you to get on the website and check out the schedule. We only have two more for the fall, but then we start up again in February. Next week, the Modern's own chief curator, Michael Opping, presents Los Angeles, Light and Space at Land's Edge, in which he focuses on the unique qualities of light in Southern California and how those qualities have inspired painters, sculptors, and installation artists for decades. For the lecture listing, which you'll find on the website, Michael explains what began as painterly replications of light, both abstract, and he gives the example of Richard Diebenkorn, which of course is the artist represented in the exhibition upstairs, John McLaughlin, and representational, and he gives the examples of Ed Ruscha and Via Selmans, evolved into architectural investigations of the phenomenology of light. And, of course, those examples are Robert Irwin, a piece you can see in the collection here on the first floor, Maria Nordman, and Bruce Nauman. As always, Michael will impress us. He always does. And in this case, I think it's a particularly timely topic that seems very near to Michael's own heart, having begun his career at that pivotal moment in Southern California. So I think he's going to have a lot of interesting insights. So my advice is come early and claim a seat. Tonight, Koki Tanaka is here. Joining Koki at the end of the lecture is Atsuko Barber. And Atsuko's been kind enough. Koki is one of those people who, for whom English is a second language, meaning that he knows that he's, and he speaks it very well. But being the responsible person that he is, he just wanted for the Q&A to have somebody here. And Atsuko is from Dallas and has been kind enough to do this for us before, so I knew I could count on her. Koki is here from Los Angeles, where he currently lives and works, coming to the States from Japan on a 2009 to 2012 fellowship of overseas study program for artists by the Agency for Cultural Affairs of Japan. And I have to note that this fellowship was given to only two artists, so that gives you some indication of who Koki is and what kind of respect he's garnered in his somewhat short career. Koki is making his mark on LA, currently working toward a solo exhibition at Room Gallery at UC Irvine. That opens in January 2012, and having the LA Times Culture Monster write, artist Koki Tanaka playfully questions assumptions about art's place and function, then stating Tanaka's light, humorous touch maintains a gentle sense of wonder at the absurdity of it all, in response to his exhibition Dog, Bus, Palm Tree last spring at the Box Gallery in LA. And then there's another quite serious LA related development that is yet to be announced. But I encourage you to be on the lookout for this upcoming event by visiting Koki's website. And if you need that address, it's on the museum's website under his listing for this Tuesday evening lecture. Koki's work does, in fact, question art's place and function while addressing absurdity and all its beauty and its realizations. His gestures are seemingly simple, yet undeniably profound. Having studied in Wien, Austria as an exchange student, having a BFA from Tokyo Zoki University and an MFA from Tokyo University of the Arts, having participated in an artist residency at Location 1 in New York, and another at La Pavilion at the Palace de Tokyo in Paris, Koki is an observant citizen of the world who looks for ways to make connections across time, culture, and expectations, acknowledging the past and suggesting new perspectives. The work has been described as honing in on the decisive moment, that moment that Henri Cartier-Bresson brought to the fore in the 1950s, and operating in sort of a Rube Goldberg-like modes that has been noted end up in sort of a minimalist end. The connections and possibilities seem endless in this work and have been acknowledged with exhibitions spanning the globe. In addition to those mentioned, recent exhibitions include solo exhibitions in and between Snowballs and Stones at the Ayoma Maguro, and I'm going to get him to repronounce that when he gets up here, gallery in Tokyo, which is one of the galleries that represents Koki's work. That happened this year. Then there was nothing related, but something could be associated, I love these titles, at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts in San Francisco, and on a day-to-day basis at Vitamin Creative Space, which is in China, which is the other gallery that represents Koki's work. With those two being last year, I'm only mentioning the most recent, as well as a very important 2007 solo exhibition setting up and taking down at the Palace de Tokyo in Paris. Koki was also included in the group exhibitions, including Video Zoom Japan, reframing the everyday Japanese video art over the last decade at Sala 1 International Center for Contemporary Art, Rome Museum in 2010. As well as chosen for the 2011 Yokohama Triennial, Our Magic Hour, which is curated by Akiko Miki, which is at the Yokohama Museum of Art, and also in Transcool Tokyo Contemporary Japanese Art at Taipei Fine Arts Museum, as well as Invisibleness is Visibleness at the MoCA in Taipei. That was this year. I have to say, there is so much more. I really, really edited it down, but I broke my rule of keeping the introduction to one page because there was so much. Suffice to say that Koki is a very busy artist making really good work. So with that, please join me in welcoming Koki Tanaka.
Okay, at first I'd like to say thanks, Terry. This is a real pleasure to be here to give a talk in such a beautiful museum. And thanks for coming, everyone, tonight for tonight's talk. This is my first time to have a talk in a museum in the U.S. One of the reasons why I'm here is because of my friend Takako, who used to be working at the Chinati Foundation. She introduced me to Terry, and she said she would listen this in podcast because she's living in New York right now. So I must say to this, thanks, Takako. So today I'm going to talk about my projects, 10 projects, in focus of potentiality of our surroundings and our everyday. But before that, I wanted to say a little negative things. But of course, it turns out eventually positive. I'm an artist who stand here. I wrote down one step up as a sort of, but there is no step up. So I'm just standing up here as a sort of having a privilege, you're going to listening the artist's imagination or crazy thought or professional interest or decent skill and so on. But let me look back myself and ask myself, do I have a decent skill or constant theme, crazy mind? No, I don't have such things. I think I'm a quite ordinary guy. So, but which is nothing wrong with me. Maybe a little careful. Additionally, I'm not producing things might lasting forever, like sculpture or painting or even architecture. It is Most of the things are temporary, like moving image, action, text. So it's more like an anti-materialism, which might disappear later on. But I believe that the artist doesn't need to produce such as a permanent thing or a proper type of artistic taste or even, let's say, self-evaluated originality, like this is my work. I must produce like only one way or something. In my opinion, artists need to be aware about the purpose or attitude for achievement. Each one of my work is one of my response to individual issues. And if you may see, it is very random, but that is how we do in our everyday. So we react to the situation very randomly. We sit down, or I should go to this talk, or next week, or, and so on. And all those things makes us who we are. Who I am is made by what I have done before. Originality doesn't exist before, but it always comes after, I think. So I'm going to sit down as, like, same as you're sitting down. So. Okay, so can you hear my voice? Okay. Okay, so let's begin with this photograph. This was the image of my parents' house. My parents' house bathroom. You see, there is a bunch of soap on the plate. So my parents pick new soap, and they use it. It gets thin. Then leave it and pick it another soap and repeat it. So. This shows you their laziness, in a way. So I prefer the things well organized and clean. So when I visited my parents' house, I always cleaned up their soap bars. So I kind of hate it. But one day, I somehow rethink about their action as an art practice. I realized that they were correcting a specific shape unconsciously, which was, let's say, inconvenient shape of soap. This gives me alternative perspective to look at their behavior. And this is what I'm interested in right now. In this sense, I could say this is also a sculpture project. In a way, because sculpture usually made out of raw materials by hand, mostly, like clay, wood, whatever. My parents used their hand every day to make sort of shape, seeking inconvenient shape. Rather, it is collaboration process, too. So you may say one of the border between them and artists is doing consciously or unconsciously. You may think artists might be doing things really consciously, but what I or artists really do things consciously, what artists really knows about themselves and their work, I don't know. But all those questions, all those thoughts came from my experience of my hometown. I think that's what I learned from my parents. And I wanted to look back one more work that I made rather before I noticed about this. Oh. Okay, this is a project at the Taipei Vineyard 2006. I collected the 300 materials from store in Taipei City. Tried to find out the different way of using things. It was just 1 week to stay. And there was me and my friend and my gallerist. My gallerist at Aoyama Meguro. We were really intensively doing this. Most of the action was not scripted. More like a spontaneous reaction to the object. Some of them rather, I don't know how to use it in conventional way. It was a trial. So now you may see a sort of a relationship between my parents' soul and this work. Because this is like a certain interest in our behavior between two. So this is like a 10 minutes video, and you can see this work in YouTube. So okay, I go to the next one. So this is the show at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, San Francisco last year. I created kind of a maze structure in the gallery. Usually, museum show provides the audience proper order of seeing, like a book from chapter 1 to, I don't know, chapter 12 or something. On the other hand, I like the chaotic show because people can get freedom to walk inside the gallery space. So my structure is trying to represent literally such multiple ways of seeing the show. So you can choose whatever you want. You can go onto the stair, or you just go right to the end or something. So my structure, Because I want to give the audience to many choices and freedom of editing the show by their way. And I also did a similar type of installation in Yokohama Triennial recently. The show's still on in Yokohama, but different looking, because which was constructed by museum furniture from the stretch. For instance, a pedestal is made for specific exhibition and specific work. This is the image that I took in the Taipei Fine Museum. And time to time, it recycled to use it in other contexts, or mostly just leave it in the museum stage. And according to my knowledge, some of the museum just destroyed it after the show. I don't know about the modern museum. In Yokohama Museum, they keep so many such things. And I heard from the curator for the triennial, they have to clean up some of the part of their stretch because of the triennial, because of much more crates which come from all over the world. So I inspired by this negative situation and tried into positive idea as my project. So I picked the museum storage issue into my installation. I believe that art is not only about the expression of artist's desire, but also about the flexibility. Art has a potentiality to change something negative, I think, solving the problem and making the installation at the same time. So then my installation becomes sort of a lounge space where people could sit and relax and eventually see my video work. And actually the show Yokohama Triennial used the museum collection and with our works. So you can see the Blancusi next to my installation. So if you might think a museum should be used in a particular way, and if it is measure perspective, this is one of the alternative ways to use the museum facility and the spaces. It is a suggestion of treatment and artwork and the museum furniture equally, and I wanted to learn something from such fairness of looking at the museum and the exhibition, artwork and the things. A structure of the show is kind of a metaphor of our thought. In this case, it is acceptance of multiple or plural opinions of people. So, okay. Then, if I look for such alternative, different point of view, I might need to consider animals' point of view. So, I literally did the project with my friend's dog. So, by chance to take my friend's dog for 6 months, I found he seems very curious about what I am doing, like making a sculpture made out of dairy materials. I think artist does not always understand about what he made, what he did before. Rather, artists lie sometimes, I think. So, what I wanted to say is, in terms, he's drinking a water and peeing and at the same time. So, in terms of the interpretation of artwork, artist's interpretation is of his own work is also one of the many other interpretations, I think. So, listening dog's opinion seems one of the best way to look at the work differently. I really appreciate his interpretation. Although he didn't care, like most of, like he seems really ignore about my, like most of my work, but. Okay, so you can also see this video in Vimeo. Okay. Oh, just skip it. Okay. So, next attempt is how do we perceive where we can show a painting? So I found, I forward my question into like this. If we look at the city itself as a museum, where we can show a painting? So one day I found a bike rack in front of bus in LA, and I use it as like a museum wall, and the bike itself as a painting frame. So something like this. So this museum wall goes around the city. So it means audience should be anybody in the street. And so it become like a temporary public art. So, like outside, city and street are one of the venue for me to create my project. This is at Beijing. There was a tiny street where most of the facade was connected to each other. At first, I found the idea of walking on the rooftop, but I wondered how I could climb up. Of course, ladder was efficient. But without the ladder, I rather ask people's help. So to use their car as a step. So I waiting at the street to some car coming up, passing by. So this is a little long video, so I just skip. This is a, they say this is a taxi, but it's really small taxi. And he said, why this guy didn't use a ladder to climb up to the rooftop, but he just accepted, okay, you can use my car to climb up onto the rooftop. So it is a question about how we trust each other. Because this is like a really unknown place, and I cannot speak Chinese. So I only can write it down the Chinese character. So that's why I used like whiteboard. The right side of the like it looks like a storefront, that's the space called Aloe Factory. So they invite me to do a project in the street, not inside the gallery space. His taxi is really like fragile, so I'm and he's yelling about you cannot step on the rooftop of my taxi because the rooftop is just cross. So okay. Okay, so this was a project at the Poker Center in Switzerland. All the architecture is made for proper context. Architecture is occupied full of purpose. Each space has a specific way of use. There is no such architecture that built for unknown use. However, a museum is one of the architecture has such freedom for using. Gallery space accept variety of exhibition design, flexible layout, and so on. In this sense, how far can we go? How much freedom do we have? So, I inspired by the Renzo Piano architecture's shape, and laundry idea popped up in my mind. So I sent my daddy laundry and asked the museum to install washing machine at the semi-public space. So something like this. So during my stay there, I washed my laundry and also let other artists to wash their laundry as well, because they need the laundry machine. So, okay, two more work. I think the art is pay attention as economic activity recently, like art fair and art market. But in this aspect of art, what kind of value system or idea are treated in this context. In order to get the sense of it, I rented a booth at the flea market in Los Angeles, which I thought it is similar structure to an art fair. In the flea market, all kinds of collectors are gathering, like looking for dead stock, vintage clothes, old stamp, record, tableware, and so on. There is a transaction about the useless things, but it is a valuable for a particular person. And this is similar structure to art, I think. People evaluate and criticize an artwork at the same time from a very diverse point of view. Art historian has own perspective, critic has own perspective, creator has audiences and artist has. They all have different value system. So one hand, it is great, but the other hand, it is nothing. Of course, it's overlapped. So I set up the extreme situation in the regular free market. This is a palm frond. So I rent a booth and selling the palm fronds. Okay, just skip a little bit. Okay. So I installed the most useless things, such as palm fronds there, and I rent a booth and sold the palm fronds.
Oh,
this is too loud. And documented people's reaction as well.
So
what I understand during the process was people looked like enjoyed their reaction itself to such strange situation.
Some Easter scene or something with Jesus.
Yeah, this guy really funny. So it seems like they just like to talk something to me, which was true. Because in the art field, art people like art collectors or anybody like to talk as well. Even Lumo, they like Lumo. Talk about the work, talk about the artist, talk about the show, price, biennial, market. So in this sense, I was there not only for selling useless things, but also stimulated their conversation, I think. So maybe I just skip a little bit. This is a little longer video, so you can also see this in Vimeo through my website. Oh. Yeah, some of them really curious about my.
From my neighbor.
Oh, you did.
It was just after the huge wind, so.
Different in everybody. You know what I mean? Because it's as an art form, you know what I mean? It's just for a day.
I saw this guy like waiting for.
But like if you make like something out of it, you know what I mean? A bus,
maybe for a long time, and I think he's thinking about like what he is going to say to me. So he was prepared to speak to me. I think.
Never disappear.
Yeah, but that's an art form in your mind.
I know.
Like a
so,
poet.
Okay. Then.
Not for a poem, you have to write. So I learned to like poems. In a way, because poems are very dramatic.
see. Yeah, it's nice conversation. But at the maybe I just show you the.
Oh, okay. Which is good. You have to be open to vision.
Yeah, open to vision.
Hey guys, are you the vendor?
Yes.
So, but eventually there is.
Okay. What did you tell us?
The person working at the university, she came to me and she told me that I cannot sell such things.
We have very clear policies about what you can
and also I cannot filming.
Okay.
When you asked him what he was going to sell, did he tell you what he was going to sell?
Right.
Normally, I ask everyone what they're gonna sell, and he told me he was gonna sell used items.
Yeah, I just say used items. So it's true. It's used by Palm Tree.
These are not the used items we'd like you guys to sell. So.
Oh, okay.
Next time, the things we're looking for are the antiques and the collectibles. These were used once by a tree. And
yeah, she's kind of understanding, about.
Actually, antiques. I think there's actually a definition for antiques, but this is my first day on the job, so I don't know what the definition is. But I'm probably going to say it off the top of my head without having my definitive dictionary. You guys can't sell.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And were you guys the one that asked for permission to film on campus?
Yeah. Of course, I'm not asking for the permission to film on campus. Okay. So, and this is. Maybe I should mention about the two historical pieces. One is by David Hammons. He did a project in New York in wintertime, 1983. It's called the Blizzard Ball Cell. So he picked a snowball. He made a snowball, and he just selling on the street. And the right side is a Japanese cartoonist, Yoshiharu Tsuge. His one cartoon called Muno no Hito. It means a useless man, skillless man, or nowhere man. So he picked the stone from the river to sell that stone in the river. So no one going to buy this. So it's similar ideas, but I don't think they know each other. Because they are living in a different field. So I'm inspired by two historic pieces to produce a palm fronds one. Palm fronds, somehow, I feel I think it's in between snowball and the storm. So this is installation view with some works, painting to the public that I showed in the bike rack on the bus, and the dog piece and the palm fronds piece. So, okay, so then the last piece, okay, maybe just play it. This is quite a long video, it's 30 minutes. So you can also see this in my website.
Do you have any specific
if you are interested?
I hesitate to want to go any lower than this part of my chin, but I'm open.
So this was a project that I was thinking about the collaboration.
The proportions of my face, just I've never
not me collaborate that. With someone, but I just want to document the people's collaboration.
Evoke the idea of.
It is a documentary about one simple action by multiple participants.
My feet part android.
You may have experience to work together as a group. Sometimes it's really difficult. But this is the contemporary society where we live, I think.
How far in the future are you?
You just skip
not very far. Maybe
this. Once we are
yeah, they keep,
well, I think it's gonna keep evolving.
Consulting about the
I know Christy.
The models.
Yeah, I don't know where it's
going. It's only
you,
but the thing is we have
9. Okay, so 9 hairstylists. Collaboration was a sort of extreme setup compared with regular day situation. But in such situation, I think it reveals something behind. Participant has different background, different nationality, different work experience. Because of that, they had to discuss first for almost 3 hours. Even they had to draw before they cut. Some say they never draw before.
Exaggerated.
Somewhere. Yeah, something like this. They have to draw and they have to plan it.
So you mean something like this?
A concave shape.
Something like this here?
So they try to divide the nine parts of hair.
Okay, so basically.
Then, yeah, okay.
She's a perfect nape.
The back hair not short enough to make this.
Yeah, but I think we have to, I think once we've finished.
So it was more like a psychological experiment in a way. Participant has to decide anything by themselves without me.
Yeah, because I mean, for nine people to make one haircut,
they are struggling about the situation.
All right.
So they had to solve the problem by themselves. So they divided nine parts, then one by one they cut, but actually it doesn't work. So they have to discuss again, and the hairstylist right through. Cutting right now. She is sort of like an amateur. She's cutting her friend's haircut. So she was really like nervous about cutting in front of the professionals.
Oh my God, I'm terrified. But this is probably the best treatment you could potentially ever get for a haircut, right?
I think so.
By far.
Okay, so I just skip a little bit more.
Magical on the outline, sort of, to have these longer bits.
A little bit.
It's going to keep getting shorter.
Okay, so.
But yeah,
it was just fun to get in.
So I think the. Okay, maybe just look a little bit more.
Otherwise, one side.
So at some point, so they just
it really is.
I think so.
Yeah, they just decided to cutting together. No way.
Yeah, Eric, time for styling.
Oh, okay. Even they decided to do for the styling, they going back.
Oh, that's good.
Sorry.
Yeah. Lots of texture.
We need.
Then cutting again. So then getting shorter and shorter.
I like that. It's more open.
We should just take this.
So there is some product on the hair, but they are still cutting on it.
That's good.
Yeah, I think that's great.
And did we decide?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, this is this is a really extreme situation. So then, then it become like a starting like competition at the end.
Water. Thank you.
Yeah, some did the styling, then she didn't like it, so she said she needed more water to clean up the product, but it turns out really, really ugly in a way. So yeah, it's... Yeah, it's kind of like a, oh my God, what they are doing. Okay, so I think this event is reflected of our society, rather maybe the city itself, because this is in San Francisco. So the place where we live and where we carry on our own background and experience. Our society is constructed by such diversity of people's interchange. I may say this work symbolizes the plural and the multiple opinions in the haircut as a shape, even those opinions may be against each other. Yeah, competition is still going on, so I'm just skip it a little bit to the end. So this is the end. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's special haircut.
Thank you.
Yeah, at least she appreciated it, so it's okay. Even she seems like not so satisfied. Okay. Okay, so yeah, I believe we can live with such differences, and I believe we can carry on all those different voices together in our society. Even it turns out nothing, like not so special. Okay, so do you have? We still have like 15 minutes. So do you have any questions? I'd love to answer it. Yeah, maybe come to. So. Okay. I didn't show that part, but he just really liked the stick, like wooden stick. He didn't care about any art or any type of shape, whatever. So it means like we need really, I don't know, we really love function. So that's why like most of my work not so much focus on the aesthetic of the work. So I think that's probably learned from my my friend's dog. Yeah.
So, but you've used that in making art since you've thought about what the dog taught you about
yourself? Yeah, in a way. Or maybe I already did like such a things, and I just I just realized that when I work with dog, then okay, I'm doing maybe right way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Confirm it. Okay, so who else? Oh, okay, go ahead.
Is that second attempt in parentheses? Is that the same model or a second model?
This is a second model. The first one is I did in Toronto, and at the time I was the model with the three hairdressers. And at the time I also expected to like 9 or even more hairdressers. And they confirmed with me, but most of them, they never come. Only 3 came. I don't know why. So then that's what I wanted to do, like a second attempt. And this is the more of the work that I wanted to like make. And actually I just wanted to show you the one more picture. This is a new piece for the solo project at the UC Irvine. I invite the 5 pianists to play together with the 1 piano. So this is still, I'm working on it. So I try to, let's say, get more examples, people's collaboration. Okay, hi.
I'm curious, did you set some parameters, like, or
are you just said, this is what I want you to do, and all nine of you work together, and didn't one or two people just sort of rise up and take leadership roles?
Yeah, I think so. Like for the haircut piece, I didn't tell them like you have to be a reader to read everything. So they just naturally like writing two. Like one is the owner of the hair salon, and the other one is the friends of the owner of hair salon. So they are kind of like two readers to like dominate others.
Micro city management kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. But one of the funny things is there is one Asian guy. He seems really quiet at in the beginning, but like at some point he is the most powerful. Like he has the most powerful opinion, and he always stopped their plan. So that's kind of like nice to see. I mean, like it's really micro like society kind of situation. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I should take. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I was gonna say with this new piano piece, are you asking them to compose music together?
It's more like I give them a one theme, which is. A soundtrack of soundtrack for collective engagement. So I just write it down and give it to them, then just play a piano. So, but the two pianists is a classical pianist, and all of them are student in UC Irvine, and two is a classical pianist, and the other two is a jazz pianist. And the girl is a composer and an improvisation pianist. So at the end, they, like all the men, they trust her to sort of like compose. So she's the middle, then jazz and classical. So she's kind of like a negotiator for both sides in a way. Okay.
So. How much do nine stylists charge for a cut?
So, what
is it? いくら
okay. Okay. Actually, it was for free, but they say normally they like some of them charge like 200 or something. So it is like a more like a 2,000 haircut. Really expensive. Okay.
And how do you coordinate the camera work? One camera, two cameras?
For the haircut piece, two cameras.
And you give instructions to your camera?
Not really. I just tell them like because it's more like a live action, and it's kind of like a reality TV. So I just tell them like shooting whatever they want or whatever is happening, just keep focus on the action.
Do you edit it?
Yes. Okay.
I noticed, I was just making an observation that with the these occupations of a pianist or with hairdressers, that they are generally, that's kind of a solo occupation. It's a creative solo occupation. Whereas, what would it be like if you used maybe people that work on an assembly line or something to that effect?
ピアニストもあのヘアドレスさんの人たちも個人でやっているそうですね。だけど例えばあのえっと工場などであのアッセンブリーラインで一緒にこういつも働いている人たちをやったらどうなるでしょうか。 Yeah, that's a nice question. Yeah, I also thinking about like in such a way. So if I invite the like people working as a group in like usually, maybe I just tell them to like single person do everything. So it's like opposite way to produce like this kind of work. But I don't have opportunity yet. But hopefully I can find maybe like some like car factory or something to ask the one person to build the entire car. Maybe it's really hard. Okay. So,
which of the projects you've shown tonight do you enjoy doing the most?
Which one?
Which one of the projects you've shown here tonight did you enjoy?
The palm fronds one, maybe? Because it was also my experience. It's kind of like a long video in the beginning because it's like a 5 hours shooting, and I try to make it really shorter, so my experience is much more like big in a way.
Okay.
Do you think you came up with the idea of collaboration if you
living in Japan? It's according to my experience in Paris, because when I was in the residency program in the Palais de Tokyo, there was like 10 artists with one curator, like all same generation. We have to work with one project for Nivea cosmetic company, so we just. We did like so many discussions, and half of the group is a French artist. They really love to talk about, like they really love discussion, and it seems like a never-ending discussion. And the final result is really, it's okay project. So, but for me, it's the process of. Like the developing the project was really like it's kind of like a learning experience. So that's why I try to made sort of like similar situation with more extreme way. So and I don't have any project in Japan to produce such a piece, but maybe it's nice to do it like with Japanese people in the future, hopefully.
Okay.
I'd like to know if you found any difference in the responses of the people in San Francisco versus those in Tokyo versus those in Peking.
の反応が違うってことですよね。 Yeah, I think so. Because the haircut project in Toronto was totally different. Maybe it's because of the three hairdressers, but they just like pick like one person picked side and the other person picked the other side and the other person picked the top. So then they never talk each other. They just cut, then finish. So but when I show. The San Francisco piece in Toronto, like after I had a show in Toronto, so it's like I went there like several times. Then when I showed this haircut piece from San Francisco, the people in Toronto, they say, "Oh, this is really, really American feeling." I don't know why, but. But yeah, let's say it's more like when I look at like a reality TV or whatever, like most of the American people, they can talk really like without any hesitation. It's very confident. That's really like different than other country, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have more questions, or we have maybe we have to finish?
One more.
Okay. Okay.
One observation that I was when you were talking about the soap, mm-hmm. the soaps and the dish and the you mentioned the repetition mm-hmm. of that, and I also see a lot of repetition in other parts of your work, and I was just wondering if you could maybe elaborate a little bit on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. I don't know why I use like such a repetition, but maybe it's because of because most of my work is showing in the museum, and I think I'm influenced by the system of the exhibition in the museum or gallery, because if you show like video work and the theater, it should has the beginning and end. But if you're showing a video piece in the museum, people just go in without the time schedule. So it means like I have to show sort of like like even my video has a beginning and end. I want to show more like a, how can I say? Like even if you look at my work from the middle, you can understand. So that's why I choose sort of like a repeated way to make my work. But in a way, my recent work is more becoming like a film, because there is certain beginning and end, like a haircut video and also a palm fronds video. And this pianist video also have, because it's more like a constructed process from the beginning to the end. So I, even the image is kind of like a repeating feeling, but the content have a certain beginning and end, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.